check us out, please. Facebook, where else, Don?
Yeah,
thevalleyoutdoors.com. Nice place to go check things out. And if you're wondering what's coming up and any DNR related event or season or whatever, you'll find it right there.
Anything you want to know about the outdoors,
yep,
by state,
it'll be there.
Go to the map, click on the state, and you'll be going right to there.
It'll be there, which
their
is cool.
Website, yeah.
So looking through the vast interweb and noticed a neat thing coming out of the UK, and it's available anywhere you want to have it. It's an app for bird lovers. And you've talked about that before,
yep,
having some stories on this, and I thought I might, yep, throw this in. What they wanted to do was get people outside and get them involved in the outdoors. So it doesn't have to be an avid bird watcher to do this. So they came up with an app, and it's pretty neat. Why did they do it? Well, they noticed since the pandemic, interest has taken off and more people wanting to get outside and more wanting to spend more time. They also documented that the bird feeders and bird seeds sales increased 50% during the pandemic.
Oh, sure.
Makes sense. People want to have, if they're inside, they like to be able to.
Yeah, I keep my feeders full. It's great to see the cardinals. And
yep. And they said it's just nice, happy to have. They said they mentioned the correlation between spending time outside was also an improvement in mental health. Some users have reported that the app has helped improve their mood by motivating outdoor movement and built-in incentives to go along with it. So kind of an interesting concept. The functionality, it's kind of they call it a niche social network. It taps into the user's locations to target local reserves and bird species in the area. It allows a bird watcher to narrow down areas where there are birds that they haven't seen yet. So what it can do, it's called BIRDA, B-I-R-D-A, and what it does is it helps identify the species of birds that users have spotted while recording it in the app. So you're going to be able to see what people have seen in the general area. You'll know what species are there, so you can document it and have photos and everything else. So they'll actually, if you take a photo of a bird, they'll help identify the bird.
Is this a free app?
Yeah.
It is. I'll be downloading it.
They're also motivated by app incentives, such as badges for completing monthly challenges, as well as keeping up with their days wild count or consecutive days spent outside in nature. And, you know, there's a fishing app, the same kind of thing. I can't remember the name exactly offhand, but what it does is allows you to record fishing. It's like, hey, I caught 8 fish today or 10 fish today. People, you know, like to share
a log.
That, yeah, and it helps give you an idea of what's going on. Of course, I'm a little bit more secretive about that, so I don't.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Either
you
people
know,
like to
birds,
share
though,
or they like to keep it a secret.
Right.
You know where they started this out? This is the.
I don't know.
I'm glad you asked. Do you like how I did that? Obsessive compulsive or something,
yes,
like that. I don't know. They actually were in South Africa and they used it to spot leopards in various areas and other animals and started to expand on it. And they thought, well, what would be the best way to do it? Well, obviously we're not going to try to find cougars or leopards. So let's find something that's a little less dangerous to locate. And
for the general public.
For the general public.
Yeah.
And that's what it ended up being.
I'm waiting for the app to come out and shows how we get rid of that bird that sits on my feeder. It's got the long furry tail.
Oh,
Don,
yeah.
What are the best ways to remove them?
I have a way.
I'm talking legal.
I am too. It's called peanut butter.
Yeah?
Snap trap.
Oh, well, you'll have to share that with me. And it works?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You talk about Mr. Success with squirrels. Yeah, we don't want to go there.
That's why I started doing this.
Oh.
I wasn't. I'm not going to. No, it's all out war. No, Mr. Red Squirrel.
What I finally did is I have a first.
I feel like Bill Murray.
On my second level of my house is where we have our bird feeder hanging. I have it right underneath the eave. And the squirrels, I could sit in my chair and I'd hear a thump on the roof. They were climbing up a tree and dropping down onto the roof. and I could hear them hit the roof. Then they would climb over the
eave or the
eave,
gutter, yeah,
the gutter, and drop down onto the feeder and start dining. Well, they would just jump right back up to the roof if you went over to get them off. So I put an extension on the feeder about 2 feet. And I haven't seen one yet, so I'm hoping that works.
Have you seen the one where that spins them around?
Oh, like, I saw that one.
Yeah,
hilarious. Did you see the catapult?
No.
Oh, I've seen that. That's pretty funny.
Oh, it's the most awesome thing ever. Yeah. They actually had a position where the squirrel would get onto this arm.
Right.
And originally it wasn't an arm at the time when they would climb up, so they just added the arm. And then as soon as the squirrel gets on there, the button gets pushed and it's a flying squirrel now.
See, yeah. Our feeder is off of our clothesline. So my sister got me a squirrel baffle so that they can't climb up the pole.
Right.
And it works great.
Yeah.
I haven't had any issues.
Okay.
So.
They'll figure it out, though.
No, they haven't. It's been years.
Oh, well.
So.
You maybe have the answer then.
Maybe.
One other thing before we take off of this story, I thought was kind of cool is the fact that the app, the Birda app, it actually, the information is shared with researchers across the globe. And even though the average Joe is out there trying to do whatever and log the data, once it's been cleaned, it is useful for scientists. So that's one of those things that really, how you link pieces and parts together can be kind of cool, considering how many people are out there,
right,
and really working at that side of the fence. So
I will say, in the last month, we have seen one bird that showed up at our feeder that we've never seen before.
Did you look it up and find out what it was?
No, we didn't at the time, and I wish I would have. But we have that happen every year where there's something unusual. Well, there was a European something showed up, and they show up in little flocks, like 6-7 birds. And they will practically empty your feeder in a matter of minutes.
Did you guys notice how many robins are still around?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe really? In your neighbor of the woods.
Like, well, maybe. But, I mean, around Christmas, I had just, like, 15 robins in my backyard.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you guys, it is freezing. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
Stop Go away.
It. Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no exposed grass or anything. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
A little early. Premature. Need to have his head examined. Tell you what, we're going to be right back. We're going to be talking about the 15 best winter fishing destinations. And I think you're going to want to listen to this. Kind of cool. Hang right in.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Well, Don, the many friends of mine that enjoy fishing in the summer months, comes to winter and a lot of them don't ice fish, they don't like it. What do they want to do? Head south.
Well, head to soft water.
Or east, east coast.
Wherever the water's soft.
Yep. Softer. It's kind of tough to fish from a boat when the water's hard.
Right.
You kind of back it in one way. You control one direction.
I was just talking to a gentleman the other day. He says, "How come you don't ice fish?" I said, "It's just too hard to troll."
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Got to use a chainsaw to cut the hole. It sucks.
By the time I get a slot cut in the ice,
takes
it's
forever.
In the wrong place.
And then by the time you get to the other end and you troll back, it's already froze over.
Well, no, trust me, the fish have moved on.
They're not where you want them to be. It's like ice fishing.
It's just too hard.
I think I'm ADD when I go ice fishing. Yeah. I punch a
hole. There's guys that love it.
They got to be
God
over there.
God bless them.
Yeah, no question about it. I got some friends that give me crap about it, but yeah, definitely. But winter fishing destinations, if you do want to get out, I've got a list compiled, 15 best
fishing. You better hustle if you're going to get through 15 of them.
Hey, that's easy. Venice, Louisiana. Been there. You ever been there?
Venice, Louisiana. Well, I'm not even sure where that is. I don't know
Venice
where
is right
is.
Down at the basically the mouth of the Mississippi River.
Yes,
it's right
I have
down,
been there.
And all the way down to the end of the pipe, as they say.
Yep, down in the bayous or the...
Yeah, and amazing redfish fishing. And
that's what we were after, but all we got was sea trout.
We had a ton of them. We were pre-fishing for an FLW redfish event and with a friend of mine, helping him pre-fish, and it was awesome. Amazing place to go.
Yep.
Weather, beautiful. Next place, Cotter, Arkansas. You ever been there?
Yeah. Well, I've been to Arkansas on the White River.
This is the White River.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I fished the White River. Yep.
Fished it and used little black jigs from one of my favorite things to fish. Caught a couple massive trout, but had fun. We had probably caught 40 some fish in a day. That was pretty cool.
We were fishing Bull Shoals.
Yeah.
For a day, and then we fished the White River for another day.
Home
of
Ranger Boats?
I think April.
Yeah. Home of Ranger Boats and Vexus Boats right down there.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're both within a mile of each other.
It's really pretty country.
It is. Lots of hills. Don't plan on doing anything down there if you get a snowstorm.
No.
You can't go anywhere.
Right.
They don't have enough plows and salt trucks to cover anything. Oh. It's crazy. Wait till it melts. That's what they do. Wait till it melts. So kind of cool. Pulaski, New York. You never would have thought about this. It can be harsh in winter, but one of the cool things is the rivers still flow, and they have an amazing, amazing steelhead bite.
Yeah, never been there.
No, that's a great place to go. Lake Champlain.
That's out in New York, too.
Yep, exactly. This one happens to be through the ice. You'd have firm water here, Don.
Yeah.
So
no.
That one's for trout and pike. How about Key West? Does that work for you?
Yeah, that might.
Wahoo are, at this time of year, they're on fire. So if you're planning to fish, got to do multiple days because it can be windy. And if it's windy, you're not going to be going out into the abyss. You'll be doing some inshore type scenarios. So that's one of those things to check out. Miami, Florida. Peacock Bass. Yep.
In Miami?
Mm-hmm. Where? All the canals and lakes and ponds just west of the city, they're full of its South American native species. Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
I didn't think I
that. They're very aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
And so it definitely says bring a reel with a quality drag on it.
Right.
For sure. Niagara River, New York. Steelhead, brown trout, and lake trout. Somewhere to check out. Kind of cool. James River in Virginia. If you like big catfish, Don, I know how you love catfish.
Right.
You know, get on those.
Yeah.
Whiskers. Meow, meow, meow. Baffin Bay, Texas. Speckled trout.
I've never fished there. I've been down to Galveston area in that area, but I've never fished there.
And a lot of these places, what I'd recommend if you do go down to these areas, if you're not familiar with it, get a guide for a day and have them get you tuned
in. When I went to Louisiana, we did that.
Yep. Lake Okeechobee, Florida, did a couple TV shows down there with a good friend of mine. You want to catch about big
bass,
big
large amount,
10-pound bass. Yeah. I actually caught a 11-1 in a pond right behind where we're staying.
Yeah, it's interesting. Connected to Okeechobee. It's interesting the way they fish for them with balloons.
We're casting.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, there's because they use these big. they'll get big shad. Big shad.
Right.
And then you throw it out and they'll use bobbers.
Right.
And what's funny is I was watching these guys fish that way. You love this. So bobber fishing is just normally like the bobber goes down and it's kind of, okay, the bobber's down, you get excited.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This one, when you see a 10-inch shad coming out of the water and then this bass
is after it.
That's 11 pounds is chasing it out of the water. It is the most unbelievable, exciting, cool thing you've ever done in your life.
Yeah.
I've never seen this. These 11-pound bass is a monstrous fish. The mouth is even bigger. When it comes out of the water with its mouth open chasing this shad, it is amazing. So, pretty cool deal. North Dakota, Devil's Lake.
Not this time of year.
Walleye and yellow perch.
Yeah.
I have to throw these in, Don.
Yeah.
You know,
the Perch Express.
Perch Patrol, those guys up there, the Perch Patrol guys, absolutely outstanding at a Woodland Resort. Great place to stay. Had to get that plug in. Good friends of mine up there. But 180,000 acre lake. It's the perch are outstanding.
Yep.
And they'll get you on those fish. I recommend up there. Just stay at a resort, get the guides booked, and have them take you out. And then it'll give you at least a feel for what's going on, because it's not easy to get out there, and you can get stuck in some bad situations. So,
yep.
San Diego, California.
Been there.
Rockfish, yellowtail, and halibut. Count me in for sure. So,
and halibut?
Yep. The numbers are absolutely, they've grown huge since the 70s. And, yeah, it's been nothing but fantastic. I talked to two guys with Charo. They put some Charo props on their boats, and they went out tuna fishing. Some of the guys went out 100 miles, but they're getting the big ones. They're getting 200 to 300 pound tuna.
Wow.
Yeah. So pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Moving on, number 13, the New River in Virginia for muskie. If you want to go out muskie fishing, you can definitely do that this time of year. So that's definitely a 12-inch fly and a 12 late fly rod. They're doing a lot of fly fishing out there for them, and that is cool. The South Holston River in Tennessee, kind of not a long travel, but nice place to go check it out. It's Bluff City, Tennessee, northeast to South Holston Lake, and it's a tailwater fed from the discharge to the bottom of the lake. Higher temperature in winter, tons of vegetation. Insects, freshwater shrimp, trout.
Okay.
So, yeah, pretty cool. Fly rod, you can use nymphs. And, yeah, just kind of a neat deal all the way around. So, kind of fun. What do you think about that, Don?
Well, you know, if I was going to head out to do a little softwater fishing this time of year, I would probably do the Arkansas thing.
It's awesome.
You know, for the for being in the Midwest, you can travel down there in a day pretty easy.
Yeah, about 11-hour drive.
Yep. And it's amazing how the weather can temperature-wise changes. I mean, when we were there, it was in the 50s, low 60s, I think, during the day, and we did the float thing down the White River. It was really kind of a hoot. They do a little shore lunch on the side of the
Nothing wrong with that.
So, it was fun.
No, very cool. Well, get out there, enjoy the outdoors. It's going to be a great week, and always try some different sports you haven't done before.
Get some fresh air.
You got it. For the Valley Outdoors, for Eric, Don, and Ava, we are out of here. Join us next week. We'll be here. See ya.